The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 382. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Keep on trucking.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vail. Uh-oh.
We can't hear you, but how you doing?
How you doing? All right, Brett Murdoch.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
And Brian Manjoma.
What up?
All right, Adam, you have to do a little bit more tests. You should have done this before.
You hear me?
There we go. Hey, there he is.
Yo, I've been there.
Yeah, he's been there, yeah. How you doing? All right, man, back with another one. Throw down your questions, man. Back in this bitch. Always good to be back with a lot of... Actually, did we get a lot of questions this week?
We got seven questions.
Yeah, we got like seven questions. We're going to be over in like 7 minutes, you know? All right, shout out to everybody in chat right now. You guys are always showing up early, you know? Who we have tonight? We have Hey Byron, Logic Wins, Heaven Smile, One Subset, and One Subset. What's going on, people? Barry Byrne holding me down, making sure motherfuckers don't get out of line. You know,
we've equipped him with a tyrant destroying rocket launcher just in case any of you motherfuckers get out of line, which we know you're not.
we actually gave him the melting stick.
Oh. Oh, sorry, I got to put myself backwards. There we go. Now that PlayStation hat's on, right, for the fans watching. Yeah, Tony, how do you have a PlayStation hat on? You're supposed to be an Xbox, according to the internet, you know?
You're whatever it is that week.
Yeah, exactly. It changes. I'll never be a Nintendo guy, though. they know.
No, that's
unbelievable.
That's true. I think we all know that.
Yeah.
Today I hit a milestone.
Oh. How many achievements you getting, man?
120,000.
Oh, shit.
I hit the 120,000. Like, I didn't realize until I was playing. I'm looking, I'm like, I'm at 19. Shit. And I was telling Rich Billy Jr.
Oh, yes.
I think this weekend I can go for it. And sure enough, I just grinding through. I had some buddies jump on yesterday. I was like, yo, let's just start boosting. Games you got installed, let's just run through. We were just running from game to game to game, just like picking up little loose ends.
Adam is back.
Yeah.
Adam is back.
120
after 10 years.
Yeah, close to 10 years. Yeah, yeah, and it's
10
crazy.
Years.
My condolences.
Takes is one person, because as soon as I came back, then I told some of my buddies. Next, you know, every Friday and Saturday, boom, they jumping on. I got other people over here trying to get another Xbox Series. They're like, yo, I'm coming back too. You know, it's like that's it. It's good.
That's it, man. That's it. All right, let's get into it, man. First question from Toon Medic, who is also Michael Santiago. All right, he goes, what's up, Throwdown? My question is, can level design be good enough to be considered a good story in a video game? In my opinion, Elden Ring has an amazing story built into the level design that is not easily accessible in the normal way we consume a story. A picture says 1,000 words, and this game contains an incredible amount of quote-unquote pictures. As gamers, we consume entertainment differently than, say, a movie or a book. We are the characters, and I can't think of a better video game that has made me feel like I'm part of a living, breathing world with incredible lore like Elden Ring. Damn, really liked it.
Man, I'm
Brett,
man.
Brett is, you know.
Brett's ready, man.
He's ready.
He's ready. You had that mic. You know, go ahead, Brett. What's your thoughts?
My man, tell him like it is. yeah, no, that's exactly what environmental storytelling is, and there's not many games that utilize it, but... I think we're seeing, especially lately, the importance of that illustrated, especially as, you know, we've seen fucking developers on Twitter talking about how you can't trust a player to go off the beaten path. And then you have somebody, you know, breadcrumbing you along this way. It kind of reminds me of visual flow, especially in comic books. And Manny might be able to explain this better than me, but I'm going to give it a shot. In each picture, there's something called visual flow. And this is basically the way that the artist intentionally draws your eye through the picture. So most of the time, even though you don't realize it, you probably just kind of chalk it up to, well, that's just the way I looked at it. We're actually directing your eye and drawing it through and prioritizing imagery in certain ways so that you see the picture a certain way. And that's kind of distilled down from when these were all paintings and you wanted to capture a person's eye. So they bought your painting and not the one next to it in the gallery.
Artists weight the pages from left to right so that you visually know which direction to go. Not every comic artist is really skilled at it, but that is the idea, you know, that it guides you through the page and then, you know, over to
if you really look, you should notice that the way that your eye moves through a picture naturally drops you off at the panel that you're supposed to be reading after that.
Yep, that's it.
So even though you kind of read through it, you're like, oh, well, I can read comic books because I know how to read comic books. I just go, you know, top left to bottom right. Mm-hmm. And while that's true, you'll notice that that's not always exactly the form that the comic panels lay in. And a good artist, you won't have any problem with your eye falling through the page like it should. And this is kind of the digital version of that.
And also a part of that is also there's the overarching story within a comic, which is the words, and then there's also the visual side. What's great about, you know, that sort of storytelling, which is also can work for games, is that the language or the text could be telling you one story, and then the environment can be telling you another. Same thing.
And that almost leans into the show don't tell rule of you don't need to do both. You don't need to show somebody something and tell them. In fact, that just kind of actually takes away from the impact of it a lot of times. So you show or tell,
it's
or marry the two.
It's always that mystery. It's like the mystery of going, like, you know, if you going to explore on your own, right? You don't know what's all the way down. You know your little area, right? But once you go past that point, your neighborhood or the places that you know, that's a big question mark. You don't know exactly what's out there, what things you're going to see. You don't know the story of why certain things are the way they are. If you look close enough, you can see, okay, yeah, maybe this happened, maybe this fell over, maybe this, but you're always a little bit somewhat separated. It's almost like you being in a world trying to essentially and not knowing every single angle.
Yeah, as opposed to seeing something and then being told how you feel about it creates this kind of artificial disconnect.
Yes,
as opposed to being drawn into it.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of the fear for a lot of game developers, at least the AAA game developers, they're afraid that the things that they put hours and hours and hours into may just get glossed over as the player just walks past. So they'll put giant, you know, red flags and big arrows pointing at it. Hey, secret! You know, right there on the map and all that stuff, as opposed to, like, you know, there are a lot of people who are probably playing Elden Ring currently who missed out on a bunch of stuff. And then they heard from their friend, oh, hey, did you realize that you could do this, 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 and this? And you're like, shit, really?
Yeah, but instead of being worried that people missed that, they then go back and play the game again.
Yeah, exactly. They'll go back and play it again, or they'll go back to that area. I'm like, oh, wow, this is great. And then they get pulled into another direction. So I think we mentioned this on the last episode. It's like the idea of a sandbox. It seems very much like a sandbox where they're just letting you in this world and letting you tackle what things that you want to do. Obviously, there's the skill wall that sort of is in your way. But even that, if you're skilled enough, you can go beat the shit out of a pretty hefty boss if you're able to, you know?
The game does a good job of training you. Like, again, like, it's very subtle, but each boss kind of stresses different aspects of combat, things that you need to get used to, and the level design kind of slowly ramps this up so that, you know, the end bosses are oftentimes, you know, have a couple more mechanics, or you have to really have your dodging down or something like that. So, weirdly enough, when you start the game over, even if you, you know, just start it on regular, even if you just start from the exact same place, your experience is wildly different. Even to a veteran like myself who's played all the games, you know, kind of rusty going in, after I beat it, started over again, immediately just kicked out. Like, this is before I even got any, you know, any good gear. Just wrecking people with the basic spear in a way that I'm like, man, I died like 9 times by the time I got to this point in my first game. Now I'm just breezing through, murking everybody. So it really does teach you too. So it's a weird aspect, or it's a weird thing. But I think that's just the enjoyable gameplay. I think that, you know, we're talking about things that you could miss content wise. I think that just drives people to go find these things. The irony here is that by hiding things from the player base, they're getting a wider audience, because not only are people, you know, like Manny said, hearing it from their friends, searching it down, and possibly playing the game over, and you know, then, you know, taking in more content, but now they're talking about it on the internet, and they're making podcasts about it, they're making YouTube videos about it to tell other people about it, and those people get told about it, and then those people watch those videos and then go back and play the game to experience it for themselves. I mean, it's just insane how much tucking a little bit of content away and having a little bit of respect for your players makes that content that much more viable. It's like they're milking the Barbra Streisand effect, basically, and it's amazing.
All right, I don't really have anything to add. I think you guys pretty much nailed it. Good question, man. Awesome stuff. All right, on the opposite end here.
By the way, Michael,
PAX? Yeah, that's right. PAX.
He
that's
went
right.
To PAX East.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Let us know how it went, Mike. Let us know, man. Anybody else want to add anything to that, real quick?
No, I didn't go to PAX.
Okay, no PAX. I was in Vegas, so no PAX for me. You know.
Vegas.
All right. Next up, we got Kishak.
Oh.
Controversy.
You got a controversial statement.
Right. What's that?
And Brett, you specifically, let me finish this question.
I'ma shut up.
All right.
Let me finish, motherfucker.
Yeah, but
sorry.
But
Jesus.
Brett, you could also be the first to answer.
Oh, Jesus. I'm sweating now.
All right.
What'd you do, Ray?
Our Soulsborne players, one of the most fragile fan bases in gaming. They'll spend over 200 hours learning the patterns of every boss, but can't handle a single bit of criticism. Whoa. I don't know about that. Here's the thing. I haven't noticed this from the Soulsborne community. I don't know who specifically you're talking about, but he has talked about this in the past where he says the Soulsborne fan base is fragile. Brett, what do you have to say about that?
They're fragile as much as combative. And look at it this way, man. You have an entire community that has slammed their head, like you said, like slammed their head to the wall repeatedly, learning the moveset of every boss simply so they can persevere on to the next stage. And you think that they're going to give up when you disagree with them? Oh, not these people, man. Come on. They've already shown more tenacity than that. And I think it's more that I think that there are people who kind of get a knee-jerk reaction to it, because I think anybody who identifies with their, you know, core personality too much with a thing, it's threatened when you kind of attack that thing. There are things that the Souls games could do better. There always have been. I mean, they're not the best graphically, although stylistically they're, you know, oftentimes amazing. It doesn't mean that there's no room for improvement. We can't have those discussions. The problem is, a lot of times people will come out talking mad trash, and in their trash talking, they will expose how little of the game that they've actually done. You know, people talking about like, oh, you know, hey, everybody attacks you. As soon as you get out, you see an enemy, boom, he attacks you. And then when you resurrect, he just keeps on murdering and keeps on murdering. And then you get to the other guy, he's in his big golden armor, and then he murders you. And then just there's nothing but knights. So like all the enemies are the same after that. You're like, okay, so basically you came out, tried to kill the first NPC you saw, got your ass kicked, couldn't learn the lesson from the tree sentinel because he had gold armor, and then made it to where the knights were and quit. Like, I know that your arguments aren't relevant when I can deduce this from your complaints.
You mean like a certain video that was out? Sounds very familiar.
It does. That's the best example I can give. But a lot of times, the things that people complain about are very telling, and you can, to the casual observer, it seems like, well, you know, this person obviously didn't have a problem with this video game. But to the person who's played it, you're like, motherfucker, you just straight up lying. Like, why you gotta lie? You can just say like, not my cup of tea, man. Didn't like it. I don't like being frustrated, right? I like being entertained, not challenged. There's nothing wrong with that. Yep. But why you gotta come out here and straight up lie, bro? Like, yep. That's the shit that makes the Elden Ring people or the Souls people pile and be like, yo, you fucking know. And they make reaction videos and they tear this guy a new one. Because, I mean, let's be honest, nobody likes seeing people misrepresent themselves on the internet. And when you catch somebody doing that, it's generally an I gotcha moment in general. So that's just the internet being the internet. So while I think that there are people that are combative, and I think there are people that are defensive, and I think that there are people that get too defensive. Not saying they don't exist, but I think on the whole, it's just that they're defensive, both because the type of people that they are and the type of criticism that they're defending against.
Also, it's important to mention that with Elden Ring and with each iteration of a Soulsborne game, the fan base has become, I would say, exponentially bigger now.
Yeah, it grows, yeah.
The net is being cast on a whole bunch of more people now than even during the Demon Souls days, where the Demon Souls remaster. So, you know, you're just going to get a lot of those people now.
Yeah, by the way,
bad apples of the bunch.
Yeah, Kishek is actually in the chat. You should have said this in the question. It would have helped clear things up, even though what we said is obviously true. He goes, I was talking more about the PC port performance and how some players are ignoring that it still isn't perfect. Okay, let's speak on that. But yeah, in general, guys, you know, if you want us to, you know, it always helps to be more precise with your questions if you want us to answer it, because the way you phrased it was kind of open-ended. You know what I'm saying? We didn't know what you were talking about. We just assumed it was about, like, oh, this game's overly difficult. It's like, no, you just don't know how to play the fucking game. You know, and you don't want to learn how to play it, you know. I haven't. Have you guys heard anything about the PC port being fucked up? I haven't. I don't know.
Oh, I have. I mean, historically, From Software is not a PC developer, and so I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, well, giving them a gimme. I'm just saying I'm not surprised. I hear that it's been all over the place. Some people say it's fixed. Some people are obviously still having problems. And I think that there are people who jump too much to the defense of, like, well, you know, they're a great developer, all these other things. Like, nah, man, like, From Software is not super strong at developing for PCs. That's not where their history comes from. Bless their hearts, they're trying. And for the most part, they're doing a fairly decent job. But yeah, it's had problems on the PC. On stability. I think only real bad fanboys are kind of railing against that. That's just a straight fact.
Yeah, and this is not Bandai. You know, just real quick, Bandai Namco kind of has a history of bad PC ports, so just throw that out there. Brian, go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, the reason why I say not quite is Sekiro. That was actually lauded as one of the better From Software PC ports of the games, so I think most of that vitriol comes from the fact that Sekiro was so good. Why is this like going backwards?
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
Everyone I've talked to, they had no issues with the Sekiro PC port. Everyone just like, yeah, it runs really good. It's stable. It's fine. Nothing's falling off the screen. Whereas this one is just, again, I heard at the start there was a lot of micro stutter going on and they weren't really sure as to why. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think it's just the scale of the game that's been the problem for them. Sekiro is more like a standard soul game. You can only teleport between certain areas and have to load super huge areas or stream them. So that's probably where they're running into a lot of the issues with this. Trying to use the same engine and you know, modify it to handle this giant map.
Yeah. I mean, because you've seen it on the console version, too. It's a little janky compared to other Souls games, you know?
Yeah.
So it's an open world. That's what it is. But yeah, it is. But I think that's fair. It's like, you know, people expected it to be like Sekiro, even though they're not one to one. But I at least understand where the sentiment comes from, you know. But
do you think Demon's Souls might have something to do with it too? Because Bluepoint made that shit smooth like butter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that shit was smooth as fuck. So, you know, you come off these two games and you go to this one, which, again, even on consoles, a little bit rough sometimes. I understand that. I'm not saying I agree, but I understand where the sentiment comes from, you know. Yep, just that's how it is, man. All right, moving on here. Mob hits.
Real quick, before we move on, I want to think also people are making a distinction between like the performance of the game and the quality of the content of the game too.
Yeah,
like I think a lot of people are like, oh yeah, it's having some stuttering issues, but it's a good game. It's just it's having some stability issues on PC.
On my PC,
even on your PC.
All right, man. Mob hits in the house. Who's also joining us tonight in the chat? First question, with more and more players embracing digital, should a Steam-style two-hour trial refund be implemented in first and third-party games on consoles as a standard?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I think so.
I agree with that.
You know, by the way, isn't PlayStation doing 2-hour trials?
No,
they're not.
No, the trials are 2 hours.
Not quite.
But it depends on
how long are they doing it for then?
No. It's okay. On PlayStation, it's more of you get a 2-hour demo if you are part of PSN Plus.
Yeah.
What's been asked for here is you have the ability to purchase a game, like play it for 2 hours, and then refund it afterwards. And the main thing that's not going to happen is the refund part, because Sony and Microsoft really don't like you refunding their games, as we've seen many
times. Sony's policy on refunds is, I believe F-U. It's fuck you. Yeah,
pretty much. Pretty much.
You want a what?
What?
The giant middle finger.
Yeah, refund these nuts. That's what they'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
they actually have that button. They have a refund button. That's beautiful.
Brian, do you have a refund button?
He has a refund button on his PlayStation and Xbox.
I very rarely buy digital games on PlayStation, so I have no idea.
If you go into the account, if you go into your account section and you go to your purchase history, and then it'll show you, and then you can click on it, and then you'll get an option, and it just shows right there, click request refund. Some kind of law was passed regarding refunds in digital purchases in the UK.
Yeah, no, but that's why Cyberpunk refund was such a monumental thing, because Sony doesn't do that typically, you know?
Yeah.
I still haven't gotten mine, by the way.
Damn.
Oh, I won't go into details, but last time I asked Sony for a refund on the game, they told me to contact the publisher. When I told them they were the publisher, they hung up on me.
Oh, man.
You are the motherfucking publisher, you dick!
Yeah, they're like that's not our... You're going to have to contact the publisher and get a refund from them, because that's not our deal. And I'm like, well, you are the publisher. They're like, oh, you need to get in touch with the developer. I'm like, you developed it. Internally developed. You developed and you published it.
Jesus.
Like, but they knew what game I was talking about. They didn't know. They didn't know that they published the...
It was Returnal, right?
It was Returnal,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe they wanted you to hit a house mark or something.
They just didn't know that they made the game and they were trying to pass me off.
Hilarious.
The only thing unreturnable about the game is...
is the game itself.
The game itself.
That's funny, man.
I have to admit, there's the best policy I've seen so far is GOG. They just have, I think they have it as either 21 days or 28 days.
Ooh.
Where you can literally buy the game, play it for that many days, and then get a refund, and then they'll say yes. And it's even in the policy you can do that. And they literally just say, don't be that guy.
Yeah.
See, this is why I liked CD Projekt Red. This is good stuff. It's yes, this makes sense. Just don't be that guy. And you can play the game X amount of days, because
that one guy. That guy would be like, 28 days, I'm going to beat this motherfucker, get a refund. You know? So don't be that guy. I like that.
But they can see if it's being played. That's why they're saying it's don't do it, because then they'll probably ban you.
No, chances are they'll just give you it back and then just be like, they'll just be salty because
if you're abusing it, if you're that guy, that's what I'm thinking. That don't be that guy. Someone will be like, oh yeah, this, I didn't want this. So, all right, well, we saw you beat it, but whatever, we'll give you a pass. And then two other games, the same thing. This is your way of just trying to get in play for you.
Yeah. Speaking of which, there's a guy on YouTube, because obviously there's always a guy on YouTube, and his whole shtick is that he buys games on Steam and then he tries to get all the achievements and then get a refund. So basically, he tries to 100% the game in 2 hours and then ask Steam for a refund. He did it with Resident Evil 3, and I think he's trying it again with a different game. So yeah, it's just the sheer amount of planning required is just amazing. Because think about that. You need to strategize on how you can play the game most efficiently in that time frame, and you're limited to that time frame, because again, if you go over, then you're screwed. So you need to pretty much do a really good run that's optimized. You know, it's just, I understand why he did it, but also at the same time, why?
Why does he do it?
There's grass outside,
right? They know about it.
Yeah, of course they know about it, but it's just I think it's just one of those things where people have seen a thing and said, I wonder if this is possible, so let's do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got an angle.
Yep, that's how it is. All right, man, moving on here. Another question for Mob Hits. Are you guys excited to finally play next-gen games next year?
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, because apparently there are some next-gen games actually dropping next year. Somebody could enlighten me on what these are. I don't know, but I've heard rumblings.
Next-gen game?
I think like Need for Speed is one of them. You know, it's going to be next-gen only. The new Star Wars game, I don't know when that's coming out. Jedi Fallen Order, that's supposed to be next-gen only. Yeah, but by the way, guys, for the sake of our, you know, this conversation, we're saying next-gen, but yes, it is current-gen technically, you know?
Yeah, it's current.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2, we don't know if that's coming next year. That's probably going to be current or gen only, yeah.
I'm starting to wonder, and maybe I'm just being crazy here, but like, do you think maybe there just won't be a generation this generation?
No, there's like, going to be
I could see them pushing the PS4, a generation could be 5 to 7 years. And I'm not saying that it'll run short, but 3 more years, and they could just be like, fuck it, we're just coming out with PS6.
Yeah, but the thing is, there are a handful of games that are going to be only on current gen. So,
and there'll be a handful, but like, do you think we're going to see cross platform through most this generation?
For a good chunk of it, yeah. We said this before. Basically, this generation is going to be very long, you know, longer than usual.
Or they just sell us this generation as it's an open field where everybody plays together, and they kind of rebrand and say exclusivity with the PS6.
I don't know. That's too speculative for me right there.
I know. I'm just kind of thinking out loud.
Yeah, but it'll be nice to finally play some games that are... Yeah, Final Fantasy 16, that'll also be current gen only. That'll be exciting, but we don't know if that's coming next year, though. But yeah, because basically current gen should have really started this year, but the Rona fucked all that up, you know? And the reason I said this year is because I was just basing off the timeline of last gen. Last gen, it took 2 years, you know?
I think it's going to be the end of next year.
Yeah, Kishai goes, would you say this generation will last longer than the PS3 generation because that generation was extended from the housing crisis? You got to remember, PS3 generation and PS4 generation, exact same length, 7 years. So it wasn't an especially long generation. We had 2 generations that lasted 2 years. And I suspect this one will probably last 7 years minimum. You know, it could go longer, you know. Forward compatibility, get out of here with that shit. it'll be nice. Again, I've been yelling about this for a while now. I've yelled about it so much I don't care anymore.
Yo, man, he's blue in the face.
I stopped caring. I'm like, just give me a game. Just give me a game. I don't care now. You know, I'm tired of it.
I mean,
I'm still buying PlayStation 4 games.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point, too.
So are we, Manny. We're still buying PS4 games, too.
Yeah, right?
We all are. No, I'm not in the bargain phase. I'm in the acceptance phase, bro. I've accepted this shit. Like, there's nothing I can do about it. What the fuck am I going to do? Stream for an entire generation? It makes no fucking sense. So yeah, that's it.
Right. I'm in anger.
Yeah, Elden Ring, PS4 game, fucking Horizon Forbidden West, PS4 game. What am I going to do? Not play games? That's stupid. So I'll just accept it, you know?
So, quick question. If you bring over your, can you bring over your save from Elden Ring PS5 to PS4?
No,
it's only
Carlos learned that.
Forward.
It's only forward.
PS4 to PS5, and that's it. Trust me.
That was the only way I could have played this game when I was in New York. And motherfucking, you know, talk about PC glitches. There's some other glitches, man. I could have gotten the platinum, you know, in half the time, but I don't hold grudges.
Yeah. Why would anyone want to go backwards? We're already backwards, dude. We don't have a choice.
Yeah, man. You have a new console and the most sought after console doesn't have exclusive, but doesn't have enough for the new one. You can literally just buy the old games and have them running nice, you know, running at 60 frames per second on your new fancy console. Or, you know, there's the other side of that, just the Xbox side, where it's just like you have a whole wonderful service but no exclusive games on there, and the previous lower tier version of that console is doing better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This generation. I'm at the point where I just stop caring.
Yeah.
Well, let's kind of do some math here. Like, so we know of what, a couple of games, but is that two or is that more that are going to be?
There's probably five or something that we know of.
Okay.
Four or five.
We should probably find out in the next 2 to 3 months.
E3's coming.
That's so, what I'm saying. Yeah.
Or not E3.
Yeah, if we don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. E3's canceled, isn't it?
The Keighley Awards. That's the Keighley Awards.
Yeah. Summer Games Fest, that 3-hour commercial, will tell us if there's any games that are generation exclusive. And so basically, we'll know in a couple of months.
First,
whether
the June 12th
Forspoken show, or, is the next gen only, I believe.
is the June 12th Xbox show before the game?
I don't know.
Because then we'll know.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, Adam, Jeff Keighley, he knows a sly motherfucker. He's gonna put Summer Games Fest, and he's gonna put like a stream of the Xbox One, making it seem like that's part of his shit.
He did that last year, you know.
He did it last year.
Yeah,
so.
It's part of Summer Game Fest. For all.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. That's where it originated from, man. All right,
Torrance.
Yeah, you'd already know Torrance. He really left the industry, man. He's gone.
He pulled himself off the internet.
Yep.
At least
he couldn't take that group chat that he was with Tony and Rico and them. calling him shit.
You know what?
Fuck these guys.
If he'd have waited a little longer, you know, Elon Musk is gonna be taking shit over. What, you know, maybe things would have changed around. I don't know.
No. Okay. See, here's what's going on. He's following the classic action movie storyline, right? Like, he got into the thick of it, and then he went, "I'm retired," and went fishing. And then when he was fishing, somebody came and found him, and he went, "Pulled me back in," and he got pulled back in, and then he disappeared again. So we're gonna find him in a small cafe in Morocco, I'm assuming. Yeah.
Like the Dark Knight,
you know?
Yeah, Dark Knight Rises. Like that's where I assume Torrance will turn up next.
That's funny.
Well, he'll be either fishing or in his garden or something.
He's gonna be there with his Catwoman.
Who is it gonna be? Aisha Tyler.
I think he may be able to do that.
Or maybe remember, Shad. we interviewed her on SCFU and Play first year we were there. You know,
That's
his crush right there. Torrance was simping so hard on Twitter, man. Hey, girl, his slay queen, Torrance, man, get some dignity, motherfucker.
You my queen, Aisha.
Like, oh my god, oh slay queen, Torrance, stop it, be a man, have some dignity.
No. Nope.
Oh god, all right. Torrance, man, character. All right, moving on here. Logic Wins, who is also in the chat tonight. All right, hey guys, Embracer Group owns over 270 gaming franchises, including Borderlands, Metro, Darksiders, Saints Row, etc. And the CEO says they plan to continue making more acquisitions in 2022. Embracer says this? Okay. Do you think Microsoft sees Embracer Group as a potential acquisition in the future? Why or why not? Is this based on anything? I've had not heard this. Granted, I don't look at gaming news the way I used to, but am I missing something here? Is this a rumor that's flying around right now that Microsoft wants to buy Embracer Group, or is this
would Embracer Group be something that Microsoft would look into? Here's the thing, like,
who the fuck knows?
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows, man?
Yeah, like, to be honest, like, I feel like at this point for Microsoft, they got enough. They got it.
Yeah,
tell that to Disney. See, here's what I'm noticing, right? So, Silicon Valley went into just basically
Silicon Valley.
Yeah, back when it was Silicon Valley,
the titties and shit.
Yep.
Anyway, go on.
I'm glad you caught that, Tony. So back in the day, it was a bunch of small companies, and then it went through this kind of weird transformation where companies just kept swallowing up companies until, you know, it was just the big companies just feeding on all these smaller companies and acquiring them kind of in their infancy to get either their ideas or their tech. And then something very similar happened in the entertainment industry, right? So I don't think it's very far-fetched to say that that's probably, or at least very likely, the future of the video game industry. So I don't think he's wrong in saying, in kind of looking, saying like, who's going to come on top? Who's going to absorb who? How is this all going to shake out 5-10 years from now? And I, while it's wildly speculative to guess that kind of thing, I think his question is, are they making themselves an attractive asset.
Adam, don't don't snort coke during the middle of the show, man. What's wrong with you?
I was looking at Embracer Group. I didn't realize that was THQ Nordic.
Yeah, it was
the parent company, and they became this. So, I mean, the thing is, like, owning that many IPs, like 850 IPs under this umbrella, you would ask yourself, does Microsoft want to buy THQ? But do they want all these IPs?
Yeah,
would they negotiate for one piece of it? Right? You would want the most value. I don't think absorbing Embracer Group would be in their best interest, because you'd probably lose more money just trying to shelve stuff that you don't think is going to sell, because Microsoft is going to have a different valuation on all these properties than Embracer does. So you'd end up shelving a ton of stuff, maybe stuff that was well in development and they spent a lot of money on, even though it's not Microsoft's money. The Embracer would roll that into the value that it would sell themselves for. So it might be better to negotiate, like, hey, we want to purchase some of these studios. Would they let go of some of these studios or sell some of their IPs? And that'd be better. I don't think swallowing this company would be in their best interest, you know?
I don't think so. I'm curious. I don't have the time or the energy, to be honest, to go back and look what they've been absorbing. But is there the equivalent of a patent troll, but with IPs?
No, there's not a patent troll. Like THQ, remember, THQ broke up a while back, right?
I'm wondering if the parent company is acquiring IPs to lease out, though, instead of to develop internally. When you start getting that high a number of IPs that you're collecting, it starts to call into question whether you're actually using them or they're the actual product or asset.
Well, no, I think they're using them. I think THQ Nordic was reformed from the former THQ, and what they started doing is it was a little confusing because there's a studio THQ Nordic, and then there was the parent company, right? That had all the different studios. Like, they were like, oh, we'll buy the guys who made Goat Simulator, and we'll buy these other guys. And then so you have this big umbrella, you have Deep Silver and all this shit. And so and then I guess they changed their name because of brand confusion. But all these studios are working on projects, right? But they're under an umbrella. It's just like, and I would say more that Take-Two is that kind of company, right? Where I'm like, you know, fuck these guys, right? They're like jacking up Rockstar and 2K and making them make all these bad strategic decisions. Where THQ Nordic, I think, wanted to keep these studios working and sort of independent while having a monetary structure to fund them properly. So there was some kind of altruistic goal to have this umbrella. I don't see the umbrella is huge. So I don't know if that's of value to Microsoft when they look at the catalog and it's like, do we want all these? You'd probably negotiate for some of them, right? Instead of buying the whole thing and be like, all right, we're just, you know, Uncle Phil's just going to walk in and start chopping studios down, because that actually wastes money.
Yeah, they also don't have a lot of oomph. I mean, they may have a lot of IPs, but I don't think they're, you know, I don't think they have the brand name like Bethesda does. And a lot of people were surprised at how much shit Bethesda actually published. So I don't think that, unless somebody told you this was big news, I don't think a lot of people would suss out that it was big news.
And this is a hypothetical thing.
It's all hypothetical. Yeah. Would Microsoft buy them? I'm saying no.
No.
Doesn't have much impact on the brand.
Ubisoft, some of the IP I'm buying, so if it doesn't sell, maybe he's out. I won't buy enough.
Have we seen that, by the way? Studios selling their IPs?
No.
Yeah, when THQ broke up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. When a company falls apart, yes.
Yeah.
But, like, they don't just, you know, like, the company's not still like driving along and be like, hey, by the way.
Yeah, that's IP. What I'm saying. Yeah. The reason I asked is because I've seen it. What happened?
It's the biggest one. Gears. Gears was owned by Epic, and Epic Games sold it to Microsoft.
Yeah. But I'm saying it's not a common thing. That's a rare exception. But the reason I bring this up is because people are talking about this like it's a thing. Like, oh, yeah, they could just, for example, they could just buy Castlevania from Konami. We don't see that very often.
I think, wouldn't it be more in this case that they sold one of their studios to another? Like, they could sell one of their studios under their umbrella along with its IPs.
They could do that, but
I don't think we've seen umbrella companies selling one of their subsidiary studios to another.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
selling one of their subsidiaries to its
I don't know where all this is coming from, man.
But because money talks.
Yeah, and piecemealing IPs. To be honest, again, like I think again, like I feel like at this point in time, you know, with Activision Blizzard, between Activision Blizzard and Bethesda themselves, I think they have a pretty damn good amount of IPs. I mean, THQ, great studio, but none of those games are on the level of any of the games that they're getting from either, you know, Activision Blizzard or Bethesda and their company.
Yeah.
What Microsoft is get the urge to play Darksiders? Come on.
And I'll be honest, I guess it, because of all these.
That's the only big one really coming.
Yeah.
And they already got a title coming out for that.
Yeah, the new one's coming. But I think just because of, you know, the acquisitions are making such headlines, that's all people are talking about now. And to be honest, I'm getting sick of it. You know? That's here. All we're talking about. Oh, yeah, who's going to buy? Who's going to buy? Who gives a fuck? If it happens, it happens. It's really annoying, you know, because we're not talking about the main thing. I guess because we don't have any games to play, we have to talk about this shit.
That's the main reason.
I
want to see the games, man. Okay, it's great. Business bullshit. Where's the fucking game?
Yeah, where's the games at? You know?
I mean, don't you feel like this is exactly what Microsoft was going for, though? I mean, maybe not necessarily this part, but
Microsoft in general is in dire need of cornerstone IPs. The Gears of War and the Halo camp have not been able to carry them up to this point. So now they have it. Do they need more? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Especially not from THQ Nordic.
That's not what I meant, though. Like, I meant more in the sense that Microsoft, their idea was to, you know, give everybody the impression that they've acquired a legitimate amount of studios, enough to be relevant. And the fact that we're having this discussion that, like, now who's going to absorb who is kind of based on the idea that that gap has closed. So I think that that's kind of... Microsoft closed the gap by acquisition, and so the discussion has changed to, is this the nature of the game? So while, yes, I think it's pointless to be arguing about, like, what studio is going to be gotten next, I just feel like that with the direction of the Xbox brand, that somebody did a good thing or a good job, because we're talking about this right now.
We're talking about it, but we're not talking about the actual games, and that's disappointing.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
It is.
You know, because it's like, okay, we're talking, you know, we should be talking about the next, you know, we should be talking about Starfield. We should be talking about all, you know, what is that? Senua's Sacrifice. We should be talking about this. But everybody's getting into this rigmarole of who are they going to get next? Who the fuck cares to get next? As long as I fucking get the games. God damn it.
Yeah, also.
You're not getting an Xbox, though.
I'm not getting an Xbox.
Excuse me?
But I'm saying, well, like. If that's all you guys should be caring about, as long as you're getting your fucking games, it doesn't matter what, you know. And again, Microsoft is just making themselves a lot more, a lot more attractive to people who want to play these sorts of games. That is great. Who gives a shit about who they're buying?
Well, as long as Dutch gets fed,
it's not a good thing too for one company to own so many IPs, right? To have control of so much of the industry. Also, I did make this comment when the Activision deal started, or when we got news of that. Like, all right, they need to chill because now the government's looking at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, okay, this is too much too fast. So if you're saying, like, if Microsoft would go after Embracer Group, I would say no, just from a financial perspective. You want the FTC and the DOJ to investigate them for real, because they'd be like, all right, this is the third major IP owner you've bought in like a year. You know, that it would set off all sorts of red flags, and they'd have all sorts of problems. And it's not for THQ Nordic, like Manny said, it's not worth it for that. It's not worth it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man, move on. I don't want to talk about that. All right. Logic wins. Next one. Okay. It's rumored that Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order 2 will be current gen only. Yay. If true, what feature that was absent from the original game do you feel could now be implemented on current gen systems? I don't know.
Hmm. I mean,
like the game had a lot of stuff going on in it already, you know? The only thing they could really do is just make it pretty.
Engine 5.
Unreal Engine 5, yeah, that'd be dope, you know?
That's it, it was Engine, man. That's the future. Because everything else, we can already do it. The 60 frames.
Destructible environments, there you go. Give me that, you know? Jedi powers.
I want dynamic dismemberment.
There you go.
You can't do that in a Star Wars game, sorry.
Yeah, unfortunately.
To droids and shit, you can.
You can do that.
Yeah,
you
there
can't,
you go.
You can't cut somebody's arm off. Well,
No. But, like, you cut apart droids dynamically would be cool.
You can totally Samurai Jacket.
What was that Metal Gear game that was...
Revengeance, yeah.
Did it ever deliver on that, or was it...
That was the only thing it delivered on, yeah. You could, like, cut things precisely, you know?
It was like Fruit Ninja with Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Everything apart from cats. Cats are skilled enough that they can dodge your blade.
They can dodge out of the way, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There you go. That's my answer. Destructible environments, I guess.
Dismemberment.
Dismemberment would be fucking nice, Brian. But you know,
it's a Star Wars game. Yeah. You're literally chopping through friggin' stormtroopers and, like, with a lightsaber, and they're not doing anything to them. They just fall over.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I'm certain that they had that in the other ones, the Force Unleashed ones.
Did they? I think you might be right about that, Brian.
Yeah, I thought when you played as Vader and went through the Wookiee village, he was just cutting them up left and right.
Were there Wookiee parts just flying around everywhere?
Well, he was impaling them. He was, like, flat out murdering them.
Yeah.
And when you played as him.
Yeah, because I mean,
I don't think Wookiee arms are flying off.
No, yeah. But you cut him in half. There was a part where he's walking through, and I remember I pinned a Wookiee to the ceiling and, like, threw a piece of, like, metal right through him. Like, yes. Boom, just pinned him in the ceiling.
Oh, shoot, don't do that when your kids are...
It's Darth Vader, man. It's
Darth Vader. Vader.
My daddy.
The younglings.
The younglings.
You're like, this is your Chewbacca now.
Mommy was right this about is Chewbacca. You. You have a dark...
Yes, you can murder 30 children, but you can't show somebody getting their arm cut off.
You know?
I mean, funny, except you can twice.
Okay, so I guess we're in agreement, even though we're not going to get it. Dismemberment would be fucking awesome, you know?
I say destructible environments.
That would be good, too. That one's more realistic.
Use the Force to control things in the environment.
I haven't played Fallen Order. Do you go to different planets, or are you on the same world?
You go to different planets.
All right.
You have a double lightsaber. You go to other
Chris, give it a shot. You'll like it. I was surprised. Like, this game's fucking good.
It's on Game Pass, Chris. Action.
Excuse me?
it's on point. Like, that's the only thing I can think of is just put on a new engine.
It's Unreal 5. That's the other one. Yeah, put on Unreal Engine 5.
Yeah, just don't play it directly after a Souls game.
It's extremely Souls light. Extremely, you know? Extreme.
It just feels... like a cheap copy. Play a palate cleanser game between.
You know what it feels like to be Brett? Like if a Souls game is like really, really spicy food, this is just mild. You know, it's like, oh, okay, I see what you guys are going for. You know,
like this with Tony. Yeah. It's like playing a game on a system and then playing it on a Switch.
I don't know about that, because, you know, that's kind of derogatory right there.
I know what I said.
Yeah, I know, because I know you don't like the game, so I understand where you're coming from. Oh, man. But yeah,
it's not that I don't like the game. It's that it's like going from Monster Hunter World to the Switch
to Monster Hunter Rise. Excuse me? Monster Hunter. Yeah, that's fair enough. All right, man. Moving on.
You have a question?
Oh, go ahead, Ben. Oh, question? A question? I'm throwing out your questions.
Yo, man, I'm sponsoring myself.
You know?
Oh, shit.
Brian.
I'm self-aware.
Brian, you're Brian. When anime you watching?
Uh-oh. The Talentless Nano.
Well, other than that, I had a different question. And this is a really important question.
Oh.
A game was just mentioned earlier, not too long ago, maybe like 2 minutes ago, and it just popped out of my head. When Monster Hunter Worlds 2 comes out, are you playing that day one?
Absolutely.
Oh, no, that's a Brian question. Okay. I know you
No, Tony's not going to give him a choice. He's going to fly out there.
Oh.
No. Brian's going to play like 3 years later and then somehow still beat us to the punch, you know?
You know what? I think I will. I'll play day one with you guys and then we'll have some fun.
Yo.
Let's fucking go.
Awesome guy.
Brian's going to be a Guadalupe brother, you know?
He's going to be a Japanese dude.
He is going to be a Japanese. Yo, Brian, carry me, man. Let's go.
I wonder if they're going to let you customize your character. It has like your flag. We just see the Union Jack running through. It's like, there's Brian.
Hey, it's Lord. Yes, Brian, yeah, Brian will be the new Lord British.
Okay, Carlos, ask the question again. I have a better answer.
Brian, are you going to be playing Monster with the sequel to Monster Hunter Worlds, in particular, Day One?
All I'm going to say is that the Redcoats will be coming.
The Redcoats will be coming. Yes. Oh no, the Redcoats.
And Capcom, ahead. Man,
they get fucking with it. Up. All right, man, what are we up to right now? Lego Bro. All right. Should Sony do an early summer press event or a fall event again? If they have something to show, sure.
Sony, show something.
But
show
it. But if they don't have anything, don't show nothing. You know? Like right. EA, they were like, we're not showing nothing this year because they got nothing. So, like, you shouldn't have a show just for the sake of a show. You need to have something. So if Sony ain't got shit, don't show nothing. But if they do, show something. Show
they
it.
They got a big old fat console that they need to start selling, so they better fucking show something.
Yeah. Console you can't even find.
I'm that of the mindset of like you need to show something like by summer at the latest, because Sony is generally not big on announcing game releases and release dates less than 6 months ahead of time. So if we don't get that shit by summer, we ain't seeing it by end of the year, which means we're probably not seeing it until spring or holiday of next year.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll be honest, something right at him.
If we don't get a batch of something until holiday of next year, I'm going to be pissed.
And you're already pissed at Sony.
We're giving you the new plus plan, and that comes with a bunch of older games, so you're getting
something. You got something.
Oh, my God. If they rest just on that fucking plus this year,
Somebody need to go over to Jim Ryan and slap him like fucking Will Smith. That's what needs to happen.
And Will Smith.
Keep my console's name out your fucking mouth, man.
Keep my console's name out your fucking mouth.
We'll keep it out our mouths, too, because we won't show any.
All right, man. Moving on. Another one from Lego Bro. What does Microsoft have to do to impress you at their upcoming media event? Games?
Yeah,
like that's how low the bar is now. Just show me some games, please.
Show me some games.
Specifically games that are coming out this year that I can play this year. That's how low the bar is now, bro.
And no dinosaur high type games.
Oh man, God, no.
You know, a lot of those types of games always get sprinkled into these
bullshit games. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said it. Bullshit games.
He's bullshit.
You see if the PlayStation Pony is going to talk about me on their podcast over that, you know?
Dinosaur High is a bullshit game?
Yeah, you don't say. But seriously, what do you got? You know, for the fuck of it, what do you guys want to see at the Microsoft event?
Games?
Games?
I want to see all those games that they supposedly got in development.
We ain't got nothing.
They have a lot of games to show off.
One of them was very happy when he said he couldn't believe what he saw.
Yeah, what happened,
one of the
Bruce?
Main things is they have to show Starfield gameplay. They can't rest on that fucking cutscene. I don't care. I don't know anything from that cutscene. It's like, what is the game? If it looks like if it's Fallout again, I would be oh shit.
Starfield
day one and hope it'll be playable by day 12.
I just I'd be happy like just see any gameplay with that game because like Chris mentioned, we don't know anything like anything we haven't seen anything, I guess. Just except for those concept arts and
it was the community that built up that weird hype. Their expectations they set to the top.
Yeah,
it wasn't to
the stars.
Bethesda, yeah, to the stars. Yeah. It wasn't like a No Man's Sky. It was promised. This is just fans just freaking out to get everything.
I don't think they're going to get everything. It's that three words have sold this game, and I think will be the three biggest the biggest contributor. Quote: Skyrim in space. Done.
That's it. That's all people need.
The people that are super excited, that's all they needed.
Yeah, and it's from the main Bethesda team, so that's another factor. And
you mean the good Bethesda team? Because how many other Bethesda teams are there?
Well, they got the Bethesda, they got id, they got
Okay.
Make Wolfenstein.
I was going to say, I thought you meant like there was another Bethesda at Bethesda.
Oh, there's multiple teams working at Bethesda.
B Bethesda and A Bethesda.
That's BioWare. BioWare's got the A team, the B team, the C team, and somehow they're all just turned into the F team now.
Oh, no. Fallout 76 and Fallout 4 were developed at the same time. Take a guess which one was the A team.
Four.
Yep, they stuck.
Question? Right, I know that was a trick question because Fallout 4, a lot of.
But not like 76, man.
Not like 76. Like
76 was rough.
See, he said it. He finally said it.
I didn't say that. I said it when I was first playing it. I think I said I turned it into a rail at one point.
You said that the game had that for you. It was like you had no flaws in it. Like
I had no issues, but I know it had issues.
All right, fair enough.
Sure. My experience is the opposite of everybody else for some reason. Like if it runs flawlessly for everybody else, I'm gonna have trouble. But apparently, if it like literally bursts your console into flames. I'm going to get this weird magic boost on it. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's all the, you know, your system is your luck literally clears out all the other players, making your experience the most stable.
This is true.
Also Brett's, if you know Brett's issues are console partisan, because if it's a possible issue that could happen on a PlayStation console, it will happen.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with that, man. I just do not have the best luck.
For PlayStation, you know.
Meanwhile, Adam with Dutch living the life,
butter,
getting 130,000 achievements.
Adam's a new man. Look at him; he's glowing right now. He is glowing. This is serious.
It's not
right
even
now.
Me. You got me this PlayStation.
Oh, Carlos! Damn, he's blaming you right now, son.
Man, it's your fault.
No. I'm not blaming Carlos. I'm saying it's like fated to me because it's not like I even went out and picked a PlayStation. Because if I have bad luck, maybe I just keep picking bad PlayStations. That one picked for me, and this shit still happened.
Oh man!
Never supposed to disclose your supplier.
You're right, fucking it up.
Never watched Breaking Bad.
Rule one of Fight Club.
I was gonna say, I was saying, Adam is like, what? I do.
Get roll, go live it up. All right, man. Microsoft. Anything else? Microsoft Xbox showcase.
Senua's Sacrifice or Senua's Saga or whatever the new one's called. Yeah, I want to see that. I mean, the trailer they showed was it last year?
Two years ago, probably.
Carlos, yeah, it might have been 2 years
add
ago.
Add extra year now. We live in Rona times, you know.
Yeah, it looked intriguing. I liked what I saw, but we need to see more and more specifically more gameplay. But yeah, I'm curious to see that, and I honestly do not know what else they could show. They're probably going to show some Halo Infinite stuff because the next season's coming out sometime in the summer.
I'm not looking forward to that. Finish that fucking game first. How about that?
Yeah,
you know,
August for the co-op.
Well, it's Infinite, so it's never finished.
Nope.
Infinite dreams.
I see they're living up to the titles. Like, yo, we told you, it's Infinite. why are you surprised? This is
Infinite.
Why are you surprised? It's Infinite. It's Infinite.
Have you seen with the Master Chief Collection? We just released an update for that one.
Yeah.
Sucker-free Sunday.
Aren't you happy? You can play the old Halo's semi-stable, or you can play the new Halo not so stable.
Oh,
that's
man.
The only thing we have to go on to get the site that Uncle Phil said that not just trailers. He said when he's felt like a kid in a candy store or some of that.
Well, he's gonna say shit like that, you
Come
know?
On.
No. He's gonna say it doesn't mean it's good games, but at least they're going to.
I don't believe Vince Vaughn's
going to show up on stage.
When executives and people who are already sort of smoking the Kool-Aid. I don't believe. I mean, yeah, you got a lot of games. That's great. That's good to know. Good.
It'll just
show it.
We come up in his face if they're like, "Yo, you said all this stuff, and all you said was coming soon, next year." They made it seem like everything, or at least a few times soon, and that they finally get to show more. This is great. You've been working. Okay, this is good news. What have they been working?
Yeah, we'll see. I know for sure they're not going to show Fable.
No.
Oh yeah.
After
all that news,
please don't. At this point, unless you're announcing somebody else is developing it.
Yeah.
Well, the Rachel studio shut down. Definitely gonna be someone.
Yep. All right, man. Move on here. Sponsored question.
Sponsored?
Yeah.
By Nike.
Again, the MVP of sponsoring questions, Mr. Romulan.
I thought you were going to say the sponsor. The sponsored question is from Skillshare or
yeah. That would be nice, right? You get Skillshare
or Manscape or.
Hey, listen, I would still be in line with us. We're guys. We need to shave our nuts, you know.
Or NordVPN or something.
NordVPN.
You ever notice how all the online, like, you know, all the YouTubers are all like sponsored by the like the same five companies?
Yeah, NordVPN, Manscape, and yeah, like you said, Skillshare.
Don't forget Raid Shadow Legends.
And Raid Shadow Legends.
The Raid Shadow Legends. Like, what?
And Gorin.
You know?
And Honey.
Oh, Raycons.
Yeah.
Oh, Raycons. Yeah, yeah, Raycons. Yeah, yeah, that's another one.
And all the credit card YouTubers have Rakuten. That's what they use. Like, it's interesting. All
right, FTX.
Man. FTX. Also... Yeah, exactly. All right. Anyway, question. This one is an extra one from Mob Hits at Rami Death. Graciously sponsoring. All right. This is the test your might bonus question. All right. Might we see the potential fall of Twitch in regards to the recent news of the 50-50 split for streamers? Would streamers be forced into this since there is no other viable game streaming platform? Yeah. I don't know. Did you guys talk about this while I was gone? The whole Twitch of craziness?
What's going on with Twitch?
So they have like this new split where basically it's like, They're getting more money. Like before, it used to be a 70-30 split. The creator would get 70%, Twitch would get 30%. Now it's 50-50. You know, it's like, no, man, you want more of your money. Okay, so we didn't talk about it. Okay, so basically that's the gist of it. Obviously, a lot of streamers were very, very upset about that. But the question here is like, where else can they go? It's like fucking the Xbox One doesn't exist anymore. What's the name of it again? It had two different names.
Mixer.
Yeah. Was that the last name or Bing? Wasn't Bing and Mixer the same thing?
No.
Beam.
Yeah. It was Beam and Mixer, so that's gone. Here's the thing. You can game stream on YouTube, but it still feels like it's just been tacked on to YouTube, you know, instead of like Twitch where it feels like just what it is, you know?
Yeah, it's the thing about it is like, yeah, the streamers can go to YouTube, but I think the thing about it is that since Twitch is the cornerstone of like streaming.
Yeah, game streaming specifically.
Game streaming or streaming in general, I feel like.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, and I'm a fucking got everything on Twitch, you know?
Yeah, so like, I think that's like it's almost like you're paying for the exposure. Because they are sought after platform.
Just like Manny, if you want a place to upload your videos, you're not going to Vimeo. You go to YouTube, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So even though, yeah, but I can't even think of another game streaming service.
There's Facebook and there's YouTube.
Yeah, so I guess because those exist is technically not a monopoly, you know?
But at the same time, it's like, are they even, they're not even making those the numbers that those guys are doing.
No, not even close.
That would literally be slumming it for somebody like, you know, for some of those people.
Think about it, right? Ninja, he went over to Mixer and stuff, and, you know, that all went to shit. But you're right. I don't think any, like, the biggest game person streaming on YouTube, I could be wrong. I might be talking out my ass right now. But I wouldn't be surprised if the biggest game streaming person on YouTube, who's just exclusive to YouTube, has anywhere near the numbers that the biggest person on Twitch has. You know?
Isn't what's his face that? PewDiePie, isn't he still YouTube?
But he's not he's a kind of game streamer. That's not all he does, though. He does actual videos, too, you know?
Oh, okay.
Like edited videos. It's not just all streams. Twitch is, that's all you could do. You can't have original content. It's just streaming, you know? Barry Burns says Amazon had always been 50-50 with resellers, so it's no surprise it caught up to Twitch. Yeah, Amazon, who's Twitch, you know? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they could go. It's kind of interesting.
Where do they go?
Doesn't affect us if we don't make enough money off this shit. Although we do make money off of Twitch, believe it or not. YouTube, we haven't gotten paid for fucking years, you know?
Yep.
Years. Twitch, we at least got to pay out at least every season or so. You know, thanks to you guys with the bits. So shout out to you guys, you know? And we got to give you guys more shit because that money, we always try to throw it right back at you, you know? It's just $100 here or there, but, you know, it's still something, you know? And we appreciate that.
Yep.
That's the love right there. All right.
I'm not love for you, baby.
Remember that? You motherfuckers don't know. You know? Got nothing for love for you, baby. Got nothing for love for you, honey. Oh, man. Yo, I saw this thing on fucking on Twitter, man. Upset the fuck out of me, man. So this came from Reddit, right? There was a picture of a, you know, whatchamacallit, a phone outlet, right? You know, like a jack. Like, what kind of what kind of USB port is that? I was like, yo, these fucking kids.
Oh man,
said it was a. Is this a small? It looks like an Ethernet port, but
like,
it's smaller.
Yes, like it's like Ethernet port, but small. Like, oh no, motherfuckers don't know about landlines, man.
Of course not.
Yeah, because to them, when you say phone, they think of this. They think of you know.
I remember my daughter, she saw a cassette. I was like, what is this? It plays music. There's music. I was like, what? Do we have a device that does it? Like, we'll get one.
Adam's going to buy the JVC kaboom box and shit.
Just we got it. She wants a boom box. She wants a boom box.
There you go, man.
Just to play these old-ass tapes.
Man, when I saw that fucking tweet, man, I felt like that scene from Saving Private Ryan where you see... You know, Matt Damon, all fucking young and then
freaking out.
Jesus Christ! Then, and it's funny when I saw that picture, I heard the sound. You know what sound I heard? Kids don't even know that shit. You know?
Yeah.
Think about it like this. I'm gonna fuck everybody up right now. There are people born in the 2000s that are now legal adults that can drink legally. How fucking crazy is that?
You know? Well, I mean, here's the thing. I worked in TV animation in the early to mid 2000s. All those kids are grown up now.
Yeah, they are. All the guys that watch your show, Manny, they could drink legally now.
They're all having nostalgia, which is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
this weekend was you know, I'm a huge football fan, and there's a NFL draft. So all the people from college are getting drafted. Mm-hmm. Most of them were born in the 2000s. And I'm like, damn.
Jesus Christ. You know? I forgot what year it was, but there was this one year where it was like everybody in the world was born in the 20th century. After today, people will be born in the next century. Like, that shit fucked me up. You know?
Oh, the majority?
Yeah, the majority, yeah. Like, no, like, literally everybody on Earth up until this point was born in the 20th century, right? This was, like, one of the years. It was, like, December 31st or whatever, right? Then the following day when people start being born, bam, I guess that would be, like, 1999. I don't know, one of those fucking years, you know? But it fucked me up. It wasn't that long ago either. I was like, wait, what? Excuse me? You know?
Excuse me?
Yeah, man.
Picture I was with Dini. He did something in front of a Wall Street. It's like all these people that were, I'm like, everyone there. It was like hundreds of people. They're all
I remember what it was. I remember what it was now. It was basically saying this was the year 2018, right? Or 2017. Let's go with that. 2017. December 31st, 2017. Every adult on Earth was born in the 20th century on that, you know, on that day. After that, adults that were born in the year 2000s were starting to come into the world, you know, when they turned 18. Fuck. That shit is crazy. Now those motherfuckers are drinking, you know? I mean, they're pretty sure they were drinking beforehand, but you know what I'm saying. Legally.
Yeah.
This shit is crazy, man. But one thing I've learned in the game industry specifically, right? Well, I guess you could say this with anything. You have mutual things. I have friends that are like 22, 23. It doesn't fucking matter, man. You're into the same shit, you know?
The one that does me, you know, proud though, is to see a younger person take an interest in something that's above, beyond their generation.
Yeah,
like, you know, you see it's like a 20-something-year-old who's interested in like older Nintendo games. You know, it's the shit that we originally played.
Yeah, and it's because they're interested in it. Because remember, when we were growing up, we had no choice but to get into the old shit because that's all we had. You know, stuff from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. We didn't have to. That was all available.
We got reruns. Like, in other words, we could still watch TV and see episodes of like My Favorite Martian and Mork and Mindy and all of that sort of stuff. So it was sort of like a given because it was always on. But for a younger person to be able to go jump back and look into all that sort of stuff and sort of, you know, expand their knowledge beyond just the current pop culture and stuff, I always find that fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on here. Okay. Interesting set of questions from someone with an interesting name.
Oh.
Drunken Demon.
Uh-oh.
I have a
you feeling related to Killer Pigeon?
He might be. They're cousins or something, you know?
Yeah, probably cousins.
All right. Both of these questions have a theme. All right. A Steam theme. All right. What game are you going to play to christen your Gabe gear? This Steam Deck. So what'll be the first game you play on Steam Deck? I'm pretty sure we answered this before, but you know, we'll answer it again.
I can answer that question.
Right. I can answer that. We did, yeah.
Because the question for that question was Mr. Eurocar 9.
Oh, excuse me?
No.
Mr. Eurocar.
We can answer it again.
Let me answer again. again, because I need to see it. I need to see how it runs. Cyberpunk 2077. I need to see how that shit runs on the Steam Deck.
Yeah, that was my answer.
You know?
I want to see Cyberpunk.
Actually, no. You know, by the way, some insider baseball stuff for you guys, right? When I test a new computer, I always test two games. The best optimized game, Doom Eternal, and the worst optimized game, Cyberpunk. It's perfect. So I'm going to play those two first. And you know it's going to run Doom Eternal like fucking butter, though. You know? You already know.
It's in the trailer, it's better.
Yeah. Adam, what about you? What's going to be the first game you fire up on your Steam Deck?
I would Grand Theft.
Ooh, that's a good one. The remaster?
Well,
even though it's on a PC version, that is the remaster.
So that, the Gears. Gears. The whole... Game Pass is on
there. Oh yeah.
So it's yeah.
Day one.
Brett, what are you getting, or what are you playing first? I should say.
Elden Ring, but also I want to try an MMO. I want to try something that.
WoW.
Nah, not WoW. And
Final Fantasy.
It might be Final Fantasy.
What about that Black Print? What is the name of that game? Black something.
Black.
That will be a.
Was it Brian?
They're coming out with another one, aren't they?
Lost Ark.
Yeah, Black Desert Online.
Black Desert, there you go. Yeah,
I always forget its name, but it's something red, like Crimson something.
Yeah, it's like Red Desert. It's very similar. The point being that some of these are, you know, as I oftentimes talk about, like activity-based games. They're just kind of shit that you play between other games, but they're something unique to PC. So I'd like to see if that's a possibility. But yeah, other than that, I want to see if Elden Ring plays, because to take a Souls game with me, fuck yes.
Nice. Chris, what about you?
I might try Doom Eternal on there first, just to see how it performs.
Oh, a quick thing. Brett, they actually did test Elden Ring on there, and it actually does run really well on the Steam Deck.
It's not to test it, it's to experience it. For the testing portion, I'm going to try Kerbal Space Program.
Oh. Yeah.
Brian, what about you?
See, I was going to say Elite Dangerous, but that's not supported.
And
I
thought,
okay, Dragon's Dogma.
That's not supported. Mr. Davis.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, Brian.
So I'll probably find something. I don't know yet.
Well, Brian, it's not supported, but you can still try it.
That's a good point. I can maybe try Iceborne.
Ooh.
For the fun.
You should put it on Windows.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, download. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, but the Windows doesn't seem to be working well on it.
Oh, it's not. I thought they ironed that shit out already.
No.
Fuck.
Loading,
really?
Remember, Windows is not, unless there's a custom build for it, it's not designed to run on Steam.
I thought it was. What the fuck?
Linus Tech did it.
And recently?
Recently, he was like, when he did the whole thing, he was like, yeah, this is not right.
Fuck, the first thing I was going to do was install Windows 11 on that
shit. It was compatibility issues, the device controllers, and something going behind the scenes, because it's all optimized.
Yeah.
SteamOS is optimized for the hardware. If you put in just a general version of OS, it's optimized for PC, not for...
This is from Tech Radar, April 1st, that's last month. Windows 11 can now be installed on the Steam Deck thanks to a new beta update.
Beta.
That's a problem, though. Yeah.
Put the beta, go ahead and take that right out the box.
Shit. Okay. Got to be careful then. We don't want to fuck shit up.
Want to set it on fire or anything.
So, yeah, I think I'll just try Dragon's Dogma and see what happens.
The beta's official, though, Adam, it seems.
Yeah, but it's still beta.
It's still beta. Yeah,
but it might not be by the time you get it, depending on when you get your Steam Deck.
But at least it is official from Microsoft. But yeah, you're right. I wonder if you have to be in the Insiders program for that.
Can you install Windows 10 on it?
You can do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does Windows 10 work better?
It's not designed for it. Unless they eventually come up with drivers. Remember, the controllers are built on, and that's the other issue. Because how does it see the controller? It's not just a Bluetooth. It's built. So then you get that whole... Cause remember with the thumbsticks not working right and the firmware update? That's all based off of SteamOS. If you bypass that running Windows, Windows is changed.
Yeah. And Adam, it says it right here, too. So it says, bear in mind that Windows support on the whole is still rough at this early point of Steam Deck's life with bugs and present in drivers, for example. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So got to be careful. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't jump on that just yet.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'll play vanilla for now, you know, because if you get Windows 11 on there, then you get other shit. Yeah. All right. Next question here. Do you plan to ever take your Gabe gear to any rooftop parties? Have no choice.
Carlos
already counted it, even though it was the Switch, you know.
It'll happen. That's all I'll say. It'll happen.
Oh shit, let's go. Yo, Carlos, it may happen for me too, hopefully this year. We'll see what happens. You know? Oh man. That is if I can get the Steam Deck. I still will trust that. I know this is quarter two. I'm like, I don't know about that. I'm expecting a hammer to drop, you know?
They're still
bitch, you get yours quarter three. You know?
They're still sending out the first batch when they're like, oh, we're sending out, that wasn't for us.
Yeah.
That was everybody from the first batch.
I'm waiting for Gabe Newell to show up, man. You know?
Like he's waiting at the door for Gabe to go. Yo, Gabe, when it coming, Gabe?
When it coming? When it coming? All right, man. Good stuff there. Moving on here. Assyrian Air Force with the last two questions of the night. All right. Welcome back, Tony. Good to be back. And he wishes the rest of the crew, you know, a good show and all that. We've had a good show. So thank you for saying that. All right. When will Microsoft bring more first-party exclusives to Xbox Game Pass? So far, we've only had two, Forza 5 and Halo Infinite. I don't count ports like Flight Simulator and the Gears 5 re-release. We need more games on Xbox for PC and Xbox players. Dude, this is the problem plaguing the industry. No games.
He's talking to PC versus.
Well, he wants both. He wants Xbox and PC, you know?
What is it? We just had another one. That's just first-party.
What, that fucking Tunic game?
We had Psychonauts 2.
Shredder, is this called?
Shredders, okay.
Shredder, that one's, and whatever else gets an M12.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, that's just the problem with every system, PlayStation included, obviously. No games, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not like a thing that's just inherent to just Microsoft. Everybody's suffering right now, you know? But like the fellas just said, you know, some games have been coming. They're not like maybe not the biggest games out there, Tunic or whatever, but... There's still games, you know?
One of the other ones, like that NBA, I mean, MLB The Show, that came the day more exclusively.
I
would count Flight Simulator, but he doesn't. The guy asking the question. I would count it. Fuck, you know?
Gun just is coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, this is the question to ask her, Assyrian Air Force, and he says it doesn't count for him. But for me, on the record, it does count, you know? Right. It's a fucking game. It counts, you know. I wouldn't count Gears though because that already came out on Xbox One. You know that one I wouldn't count. But Flight Simulator, that counts as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's not that they don't have enough first party games on Game Pass. It's just that they don't have enough first party games.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's the thing. All the games.
Day one. You know.
Yeah. I think that's a. You know, even though that hasn't really materialized in much, I think that assurance has really. Guarded the favor of a lot of gamers.
That's just probably, because you, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, just because like you can say like, well, it hasn't come out yet, but I know Game Pass is going to be a good deal because they say they've told me every first party game is coming out on here, so I can kind of rely on that.
If fans butts of, oh well, except this.
Yeah. All right, man. Last question of the night. Has Sony become like Apple, where once you are in the ecosystem, you can't get out and you can't take your purchases with you. Interesting.
I feel like that's everyone with it.
That's everyone.
What is he trying to take with him?
Yeah, I'm like, you can't buy an Xbox game and take it to PlayStation. You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand the question.
You can take, if you bought a game on Xbox, part of the PC family, it'll...
Yeah, but that's course, like a Microsoft ecosystem.
Yeah, really, Microsoft.
Xbox ecosystem. Anywhere.
But it's true anywhere. If you buy Elden Ring on Steam, I can't fire a PS5 and play Elden Ring, right? You gotta buy another copy.
Yeah.
Same thing with Xbox.
So it's not a Sony thing. Everybody does that. You can't, but I can't take a Mario game and play it on Sony, you know? It doesn't work like that.
I mean, it is the most closed of the ecosystems. I will give
Is it? That. Nintendo seems more closed, man. You know, at least Sony games are on some games are on Nintendo. PC.
They're not even in the discussion.
No, but we have to.
But yes, you're right. I keep forgetting about them, which is probably very telling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're more close to Microsoft, but they ain't as close as Nintendo. You know,
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, you can jump from one PC to a different brand of PC. You know, they really rely on their service, and I think that's the big difference. Is Steam is a service. Microsoft is starting to lean more towards a service. PlayStation hasn't done that, which means its ecosystem is a little bit more difficult to access. So if you don't buy a PlayStation, sorry, you don't get to play PlayStation. You can't change the brand. You can't change your model. You can't really change anything about it outside of their ecosystem. So, I mean, I kind of get it, but I mean, you're all right. Like, it's a service. Nobody is pretty much handing you the keys. Just go take, I mean, GOG. I mean, they're the good guys though. So pretty standard.
The good and bad guys.
Yeah, that's true. They're just fucking rebels, man. Like that's how I see the whole PC market. Like they're just the wild card.
All right. By the way, Assyrian Air Force is actually in the chat. He goes. I'm saying try converting an Apple user to be an Android. Are you talking about like try to convert an Xbox guy to be a PlayStation guy and vice versa?
Oh, are you talking about fanaticism?
Is that what you're talking about?
Like brand loyalty through fanaticism?
No, I think the way I understood it is. Sort of, you know, you try to convert someone from Apple to Android. It's like, oh, you gotta change from iCloud to Google Photos and, you know, the text messages and all this stuff that needs to get ported over. And it's like with video games, it's much harder because you can't port over game saves.
Yeah,
you can't
port over
games. Progression is probably the thing. It's not mandatory. Some games that do it and some don't. But I think if they all did it, you still have to buy the game.
Here's the thing, though. To draw somebody into an ecosystem, you have to have more than one successful device.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, maybe when the Vita was still a thing, but, I mean, like, what, are you connecting your PlayStation to your Sony TV? I mean,
they
Sony
had something like that back in the day, you know?
But, well, that's what I'm saying. They don't anymore. Like, Microsoft or Apple really gets you by the whole, like, well, you've got an iPad. Maybe you get an iPhone, too, so they work together. Oh, well, now your computer isn't, you know, part of the thing, and it would work a whole lot better if you got a MacBook. Tony, you're right in that they're trying. They're singing you the siren song trying to get you to buy a MacBook now. And I know you're not going to fall for it.
Oh, no, you know, no, hey, listen, I said the MacBook is the furthest I'll go. I will not buy an iMac. Fuck that. We're good. You know, we're not going that far, you know?
That's they.
He's like,
you know why, Brett? Because I can't play any fucking PC games on that shit. You know,
but then you'd be like, "Well, I have a different PC for gaming. This one's for editing."
Yeah, whatever. Again, unless like the fucking M3 chip somehow actually makes it possible to play games on it, I'm good. Can I stick a RTX 5000 into that shit? Then we could talk. You know. Anyway, what are we talking about again? Assyrian Air Force. Okay, I guess he's trying to clear. Maybe you didn't answer the question correctly or something because he's trying to clarify things here. He goes, I'm saying try converting an Apple user to an Android. I'll have them switch from iPhone to Android. Once you are in the ecosystem and spent all that money, why start over and rebuy everything? But that's a problem you have with everything. If you're an Xbox guy, Adam had the same thing. He was on Xbox. He had to buy all this shit over again on PlayStation, you know, and then vice versa when he jumped.
Then I did it back.
That's what they get.
That's it.
You just got an iPhone, right? So you switch from Android to Apple. Like it's just that just comes with it. If you make that decision, then it's like those apps you bought on Google Play. Like that's it. You have to buy them again.
Got
to
buy them again. Yeah, that's it.
Apple Store.
Thankfully, I don't buy fucking apps like that. So we're good. If it ain't free, I ain't buying them. You know.
I will say this. The day Tony converted was the best day in Throwdown history.
With the chat, we write the bubble.
To see the blue shine.
Bright. I told you, mother. Yo, I wrote an article about that, about the experience. And the last line I said was, I apologize to everybody I subjected to those green bubbles because they look fucking disgusting. Yeah. When I text an Android user, I'm like, "Fuck, is that what I did to you guys? I'm sorry."
Oh my god, Tony, you're proving his point though.
Yeah,
the way they build an ecosystem, so like, ugh, you have to see what the horrible Android user texts look like.
Yeah. Oh, and Brett, Apple is so evil. You know they did that shit on purpose.
Assyrian Air Force, is that what you're talking about? Like the small subliminal things and the cult of personality behind the brand?
Yeah.
or the monetary investment? Because the monetary investment, that's a blanket thing amongst services.
I don't remember if it was the iPhone 4 or 5, that conference, and it was Steve Jobs himself who showed the text bubbles that, oh, if you're chatting with an iMessage, it would be blue.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we cater to the other people too, and it shows it green. He did that on purpose.
A nasty ass green too. You know,
you see the little dot dot dot. You replying back.
You know what's weird though? Yeah. I'm pulling this shit up right now. You know what's weird? Look at the iMessage thing. What color is it? It's fucking green. So the app itself is green.
Oh, right? Yeah.
But the messages are blue. Very interesting. You know,
used to be blue iMessage.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Not anymore. So I'm like, so this combination of blue, of green and white looks nice, right? But then when you see it with the Android user, it just, ugh. I'm like, Apple, you devious motherfuckers, man.
The way you can watch YouTube videos integrated right there with the chat.
Yeah.
Images displayed correctly.
Right? I'm like, this shit was crisp as fuck.
Not shrunken.
Adam would send videos and they look like they're from fucking iPhone 1.
You know, the more we talk about it, the more this question is starting to make sense, because like other brands do kind of play well together, minus Nintendo.
They don't play at all.
Other brands do kind of play together sometimes. It's not as difficult to run into people who aren't, you know, extremely deep into your ecosystem on other platforms like that. So, I mean, he's kind of got a point.
Yeah, no, he's right. I see where he's coming from. He's telling me I need to buy this thing called, or get this thing called Backbone for iPhones because it's for gaming. I don't play video games on my phone, man. What the fuck am I, a loser? You know, I'm not doing
whoa.
That.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Damn.
I got consoles, bro. Fuck that shit. If I'm going to do any mobile gaming, I got a Steam Deck coming. I'm not
playing. That wasn't a derision on gamers. That was a derision on mobile gaming.
Exactly. Mobile gaming is fucking trash, you know? Yeah, Tony, tell me how you really feel.
And don't forget to play Raid Shadow Legends.
Yeah, right. Sponsor the throwdown. Oh, man. All right, man. I think we're done here, man. Another good show here. Do we have anything to plug?
Nothing yet, but something.
All right, good stuff. Adam, you got anything?
Yeah, of course. I am Negan. That's the TWS podcast. That's out. We've been covering Fear the Walking Dead. I think it's tomorrow we'll be covering 12.
The Nuke.
And we're probably going to cover some of the, because there's a lot of critic bride with Carol and the controversy.
Pearl.
People attacking Norman Reedus and trying to cancel it. It's,
what?
It's ridiculous. Yeah, a lot of crazy AMC had to come out. Jeffrey Dean Morgan had defense. It got real nasty, so we'll probably go into that. That's it. So yeah, it's over on Spotify. Just search for I Am Negan Dead. We cover it.
Good stuff, man. All right, make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter, and join us in the Discord where the news is always popping, the rumors are always flying, and where we get all our info from to make these shows happen, man. Where
hey,
you
yo.
Guys, yo, what's up? You got something to plug?
I do. I'll be at the Kansas City Villain Arts Tattoo Convention from May 20th to the 22nd, and I'm actually going to be trying to keep my online presence up, so I should be tweeting and throwing up Instagram pictures all weekend.
Oh, where can they find you on Twitter, man?
I don't even know what I am.
It's Brett underscore Murdoch. By
I think it's Brett underscore. I'm pretty sure it's Brett underscore Murdoch. Fuck, it's been a minute. And you can find my Instagram at Brett Murdoch Tattoo, all one word.
Nice. Yeah. So if you live in the Kansas City area or close, go hit up Brett. He'll be happy to see you. You know.
Yep. Also, if you find yourself on the on any of the Villain Arts tattoo tours, shoot me a link. Maybe we'll book something out, and I'll come out and make an appearance at a different show, different state.
Nice, good stuff. All right, you can find Throwdown on any podcast app on the planet, Throwdown Show, throwdownshow.com to listen to previous episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and you enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when new episodes go live for you guys. That is YouTube premieres every Monday and Friday at 10:45 p.m. Eastern, or if you don't fuck up, obviously, but they go up regardless, you know. And yeah, links to everything down below in the description. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Tom Brady was drafted on April 16, 2000.
Holy shit.
His new teammate from a couple of days ago was born April 22nd, 2000.
Wow.
Oh, damn.
That's crazy. right? Adam Vale.
For those, you know, I always play FIFA. FIFA 22 will be on Game Pass. So if you knew FIFA, the current version, it's there.
That's good stuff. Brett Murdoch.
It has been real, party people.
And Brian Majoma.
Apparently, Tracer got nerfed real hard in Overwatch 2.
Oh.
Overwatch. Yeah.
Someone removed her assets.
Oh, no.
Interesting.
Oh, sign it
the times. They were offensive.
Yep. Sign of the times. All right, people. We'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Later.
Can't have nice things.